High up in a field in the middle of Waterford City live 84 goats in the wild. They spend their days eating the grass, their nights sleeping on the edge of the rock, which is 100 feet up, with a panoramic view of the city. They are the Bilbury goat herd. They have lived on the rock for over 300 years. And as of January next year, cheese from their milk will be on the market. Now, in her continuing look at all things made in Ireland, Ella McSweeney has visited the herd and also the food producer in Kilkenny, who's actually making the cheese. Ella, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, tell us about the provenance of this herd. Where did it come from? How long has it been there?
It's quite a significant question, obviously, to find out where they all came from. And it's one that won't be answered really until scientists look at their DNA properly and find out. It's believed they came from the Huguenots 300 years ago, who brought them there. The port was in Waterford City. It was a very busy port at that time. And they are thought, they're believed anecdotally, to be related to Kashmir, Maltese or Pashmina goats. Now, they've had a rough time, these Bilbury goats, and through the years, anecdote says that they've been used, they've been much loved by the city, but up until the year 2000, there was only about 7 of them left, and they were abused, they were removed from the land. They've really fought to survive, and now, thanks to the Bilbury Goat Heritage Trust, which was set up by Martin Doyle, who we'll hear of in a minute, and also Philomela Linnett, mother of Phil, there are 84 of them on the rock. And anyone who is in Waterford now or comes in on the train, if you look up on the rock, you'll see their outline. They spent an awful lot of time right on the edge.
Okay. Now, what's going to be special about the cheese because of what they eat? I mean, is there anything special about the grazing?
Absolutely. There's something special about the rock. It has an awful lot of minerals and nutrients. The vast majority of commercial goats spend all their times indoors. So the goat's cheese that you eat will be the result of them eating silage and all the rest. So these goats are quite unusual in that they spent all their time outdoors, and they did spend all their time obviously just eating the grass that's there. There's an awful lot of clover on the rock. There's about 14 acres in total is the area that they have. And they are an impressive, unusual sight to see.
What do they look like?
They look like, they're very large. They've got slightly short, stubby legs. They've got a long sort of silken, shaggy coat. They've got a long beard, big, long horns. And to be honest, they're the kind of goat where if I asked you to draw a sketch of a goat for a four-year-old child, that's the goat you draw, the Bilbury goat. They're very sort of characterful looking. They're entirely, they're wild, but they're also very used to people, because for all these hundreds of years, Waterford people have had quite a close relationship with this herd.
Now tell us about Martin Doyle.
Martin Doyle is the goat man in Waterford City. He remembers when he was 7 years old in 1967 first seeing this herd. And ever since then, it was pretty much love at first sight. And ever since then, he's been someone who, like a lot of people in Waterford, have cared for them. And I went up and had a look at the herd myself with him.
Yup, 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 yup. Come on.
They're on the edge of the cliff there because it's very safe, you see, because they're like within an inch of the rock face. To the left there, they drop about 140, 160 feet in places, so they're quite foot sturdy, I'll tell you that.
What is it about the rock they like?
They lick the rock frequently, and there's so many minerals within Bilbury Rock because it's a very variated combination of elements in there, and there's quartz there, there's jasper, the rare stone, which is quite valuable. And it could have a lot to do with their longevity as well, because they live such a long time. They look a bit like the Afghan hounds with horns, you know, so.
That is exactly what they look like, and
yeah,
it was exactly
Afghan
on my mind.
Horns,
Afghan
yeah,
hounds
yeah.
With
and
horns.
And they got very, very long horns, because the oldest guy here is 25, and his horns are 48 and a quarter inches, which is the world record.
What do you do with the excess horns?
They're sent to a company in Austria, and they make masks for the Mardi Gras festival in Venice.
Do they pay well?
They pay very well. We get roughly an estimated €300 per set of horns.
And that's a good source of revenue. That's Martin Doyle. Where did they get the idea of making cheese from?
Well, I'll just let Martin tell the story. I mean, it's something that Waterford City would have been, obviously, in the beginning of the 20th century, you know, a huge amount of poverty and hunger in the city. And these goats were there and women milked them.
I happened to get into a general conversation one day with a woman in Waterford City. Oh, she said, I must tell you, my mother, she said, it was a milkmaid at Goats Lane in Waterford.
Goats Lane?
Yeah, it was demolished in 1977. And her mother was there around the 1909 period. This particular lady actually helped her mother produce the cheese and was able to, you know, give me long-forgotten recipes.
So back in the beginning of the last century, the wild herd here was used, as it should have been, as a source of food for the local population, and there used to be women who milked them.
From Bilberry Rock, the goats were taken along a pathway which is still in place, and they were driven up into Goat's Lane, a very narrow laneway, which only a goat could pass through. And as they'd pass, the females were pulled into one house.
So the lady that you met, her mother was milking them?
Her mother was a milkmaid, and she told me her mother was one of 12 milkmaids that worked on Goat's Lane. All the ladies that worked on Goat's Lane were originally from Green Street in Waterford, and that was their job. But it was very much in vogue at one time in Waterford, cheese from Goat's Lane.
And so when you were talking to this lady whose mother was a milkmaid, I can just imagine your eyes popping and just thinking,
you know, here's
an idea.
She thought she was taking up my time. I learned so much from her. Like, for instance, they used the dillex, which is the seaweed, to derive the sea salt from the seaweed. And how they done that was they boiled it to sterilise it in water. And then they removed the seaweed, the dillex, to add to the cheese.
So how does it work today? You've got a wild herd that needs to be milked. Do they take to the milking easily?
I don't mean, goats are crazy. I mean, any farmer out there will know that. That's why they're so characterful. They remind me a little bit in the music world of Rihanna. Like, they're just very cool and very self-assured and, you know, but they're slightly crazy. So, you know, they hadn't been milked for decades. And then here comes Martin hand milking them with a bucket and saying, right, lads, we're going to start making cheese from your milk.
It was very difficult. You know, in general, in goat herds, and particularly in wild goat herds, you have the leading female, which is the oldest female, which is the matriarch. If you can control her, you can control the rest of the females.
So, and when you say control her, what does that entail?
If she will come with you and she will stand to be milked, all the other females are looking on. If she trusts you and allows you to carry out your function in relation to milking, they don't seem to be too hesitant then to follow her. The oldest female here now is 19 years old.
Wow.
Which is a unique feature with the Bilberry goat herd.
She was the one you had to convince that this is all okay.
Yeah, you know, we had to spoil her, really, to be honest with you, because we don't in general feed them any foodstuffs here. But they have a go for oats or for horse nuts, you know.
Plumosum,
yeah. We give her an equestrian mix, which is sweet and full of molasses. So it would have taken us roughly about 6 months to get them in line.
So the first time it happened, what happened?
Crazy. It took us about 2 days to recover. Because we have a shed there, it was totally destroyed. Some of them were jumping and hitting the roofs.
So you come up here every morning and milk them, do you?
Yeah, we're here 7:30 in the morning. You know, we were milking 55 at the moment.
So tell me you're hand milking.
We used to, but it's hard work. When you get over 20 animals, it takes a long time and they can be very stubborn. We use a mobile machine now.
So anyway, it proves bribery and corruption does work. Now, they've been milked for the past few months and cheese is being made. Who's making it?
Oh, and one of the best cheesemakers in Ireland, if not in the British Isles, because she's award-winning cheesemaker, Helen Finnegan of Nocturna Cheese in Kilkenny, who won the Cheese Oscars in the UK in September for her Kilry cheese. Martin delivers the cheese to her. She then is starting to make this cheese.
Yeah.
The milk to her, rather. She makes the cheese. She's on her second batch. And as you said in the beginning, it's going to be released in January.
Just let me get a pair of gloves. This is the second batch of cheese we've made. So Martin sends the milk in, it comes into us here, and we pasteurise it in the vat, and then we add our starter culture and our rennet, and it's a very, very simple cheese. It's the simplest kind of goat's cheese.
How did you decide what recipe to use for the bilberry cheese?
We started with our most basic, kind of simplest recipe, which is a goat's log. So literally the curd is ladled into the moulds and the next morning it's salted and rolled into logs. We can show you this week's batch.
Into the fridge?
Yeah, it takes at least a week. So this one is just a week old.
So what we have here are trays and trays in this walk-in fridge here of logs of very lovely creamy white coloured bilberry goat's cheese.
It's goat's cheese in its simplest form. The flavour at this stage, it should still be tangy, citrusy, a little bit lemony.
So you've broken off a little bit there. I'm going to eat a tiny bit. Mmm. All of the above.
Yeah, zingy.
Zingy is exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, again, that is more zingy.
And that'll be released in January. They've done a deal with Sheridan, so they should have it and it'll be exported as well.
They are. And also,
goat's cheese. All right. By the way, the Bilberry Rock, there was a bit of a battle, wasn't there, over that rock?
It has been a battle of Bilberry. It was sold, part of it, 6 acres, was sold to a developer called Dermot Fitzpatrick in the year 2005. He's been trying to get planning permission, and a planning permission for 97 houses was granted last year. This is the battle that they're in. You know, there is huge tourist potential with these goats, and there is no doubt that we've learned lessons from the good times in Ireland about development, and one hopes that if there is going to be development that the County Council tread softly.
All right, Ella, thank you very much. Ella's with me every Monday with her Made in Ireland slot. It's an Athena Media production supported by the BAI Sound and Vision Scheme. For more audio, photographs and video, go to the Made in Ireland Facebook page and indeed on our own website at rt.ie/today with Pat Kenny, where all of Ella's features are podcast. We'll take a break.